like in the
Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. Today is the 16th of February. It's a Monday. It's President's Day, which means that some of our kids are not in school and they're roaming the Capitol with us. If you see kids running amok, they're probably mine. I apologize ahead of time. So we have a number of public hearings today. A public hearing scheduled on Senate Bill 24, Senate Bill 201, Senate Bill 203. They're all related items. I will open up the public hearings on all three of them at the same time, and we'll be taking testimony on any of the three concepts. Afterwards, we will do a separate public hearing on Senate Bill 210. So that is the that's the game plan, of attack. So start out by opening up a public hearing on Senate Bill 24, Senate Bill 201, and Senate Bill 203. Could you explain briefly what these measures do? And while you are doing such, I'll invite up Richard Whitman from the Governor's Office and Annette Levy.
Senator Edwards and committee members, Senate Bill 24 is a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. It establishes an 11-member task force on natural resource agency consolidation. Senate Bill 201 creates, as part of the Regional Solutions Program, a Natural Resource Alignment Coordinator position, It requires the Natural Resource Alignment Coordinators to work with Regional Solution Teams, Natural Resource Agencies, and the Governor to improve manner in that the agencies make regulatory decisions and other things. And Senate Bill 203 directs Natural Resource Agencies to work with the Department of Administrative Services and the Office of the Governor to develop opportunities for collaboration and partnership.
All right, kick us off here.
Good afternoon, Chair Edwards, members of the committee. For the record, Richard Whitman, the Governor's Natural Resources Advisor. Pleasure to be here on President's Day and testifying before you on Senate Bill 24, Senate Bill 201, and Senate Bill 203. As the committee administrator indicated, these three bills are associated, have similar ideas behind them. So I want to talk about that for a minute, focusing first on Senate Bill 24. But before I do that, I want to introduce next to me, Annette Lieb, the head of the Governor's Regional Solutions Program, is here today to testify with me as well. She's going to focus primarily on Senate Bill 201, the Agency Alignment Team Bill. And I apologize in advance. My voice is, as you can probably tell, a little shaky today and maybe on the way out. So I'll do my best to soldier through here. So again, let me start by testifying to Senate Bill 24. The governor has no position on this bill, but I want to provide you with some information. There's a long history of work and thought put into natural resource agency consolidation. And I'm going to give you a quote. There's nothing new under the sun, but there are lots of old things we don't know. And that's from Ambrose Bierce. That quote actually came from one of my predecessors, Gail Achterman, who was natural resource advisor some time ago and who testified before this body in 2011 on a similar bill proposing a task force on natural resource agency consolidation. I'm going to talk about her testimony a little bit today, and I've actually introduced into the record for this bill a copy of her testimony from 2011. So just first a quick recap of the last 5 years of history on natural resource agency consolidation proposals. In 2009, then-Governor Kulongoski proposed elimination and consolidation of a number of boards and commissions, including some natural resource-related ones. Then, as I mentioned, in 2011, in Senate Bill 169, Senator Dingfelder proposed establishing a task force on natural resource agency consolidation. There was another bill in the 2011 session, Senate Bill 521, introduced by Senator Starr, which instead of proposing a task force, actually would have directly consolidated a number of natural resource agencies. Then a year later, Governor Kitzhaber, in the Regulatory Streamlining and Simplification Project, also made a number of proposals related to consolidation and streamlining of regulatory functions among agencies. And then in 2013, the last long session, we had Senate Bill 251, which was a committee bill in the Interim Committee on Business, Transportation, and Economic Development requiring coordination of permit reviews. So as you can see, even in the last 5 years, there's a pretty robust history around natural resource agency consolidation. So when I think about this, the first thing I think about is the question of why. Why would anyone want to look at consolidating the 14 fine natural resource agencies that we have in the state of Oregon? Well, I think, in my mind at least, there are three potential reasons for looking at consolidation. There's cost savings, there's clarity of policy, and then there's consistency and predictability in terms of regulatory function. Those are all three good reasons to look at consolidation, and are ones that this committee should consider as it thinks about this bill. I've put together for today a short handout that is intended to help you frame thinking around this consolidation issue as well. And it looks like this. It's the one pager with a box for people in the audience also. And the reason I did this is to start to describe to you some of the complications involved in trying to coordinate or better align agencies in this area. First of all, as you all know, over half of the state of Oregon is in federal land ownership. So any serious effort that's looking at coordination, consistency, needs to think about those federal lands also, and how does the state and local government interact with those federal lands. And there are federal regulatory agencies, there are federal land management agencies, and then, of course, we have federally recognized tribes in the state of Oregon that also need to be coordinated with. And then going vertically, down to the bottom of that one pager, we also have local government, which does a lot of the implementation, the on-the-ground work in this area. And again, we have regulatory functions, permitting that happens at the local level. We have planning that happens at the local level. And we have land management activities at the local level. So you have that vertical dimension between levels of government. Then thinking horizontally about state government, we have, depending on how you want to count it, somewhere between 13 and 15 natural resource agencies in the state of Oregon. Many of those are involved in regulatory permit functions, but you also have state agencies involved in planning, including Oregon Department of Transportation, as well as the Land Conservation and Development Department. And then you have a number of state agencies that are land-owning, land-managing agencies also, including Fish and Wildlife, Parks, Department of Forestry, and, of course, the Department of State Lands. So when we think about coordination, we should be thinking about it both not just in regulatory terms, as most people often do, but also planning function and land management function. So with that frame there, and some of this comes off Ms. Achterman's testimony from 2011, there are a variety of types of agency coordination and consolidation that one could think about. There's consolidation and coordination in terms of administrative functions and shared services. And so right now, natural resource agencies are doing quite a bit on shared services on more or less an ad hoc basis. So for instance, human resource functions, IT functions, communications, on an ad hoc basis, a number of the natural resource agencies are already working together to have a single agency shop handle those services for multiple agencies. At the policy level, of course, the longstanding institution is the Natural Resources Cabinet, which actually started under Governor Attia, going back quite a ways now, and which continues to this day, and for those of you who don't know, continues to meet twice a month with all Natural Resource Agency directors and myself, and occasionally the governor, really for the purpose of making sure that we have coordination on a policy basis between the natural resource agencies. Where that takes its form most often is in legislative proposals that the agencies may make, in their testimony on bills that others have proposed, in the form of rulemaking that the agencies do, and then last but not least, in preparation of the governor's recommended budget, my office plays a coordinating role between all the agencies in pulling together the agency request budgets and turning them into a governor's recommended budget. But there are also other policymaking functions in terms of coordination, and particularly on the funding side. We have a number of natural resource agencies that provide funding to local government, to local watershed councils, and others, and there could be better coordination on that particular axis as well. And then finally, and this is going to come up particularly in the context of Senate Bill 201, the alignment team bill, in terms of permitting and regulation, I did not bring for you the horrific looking diagram of all the different state agency permits that are out there for various types of activities, but it's very complicated. And so another area where there could be consolidation or better coordination is on that regulatory alignment in situations where we've got somebody in the private sector who is dealing with multiple state and local institutions. And ideally, coming back to the why part of this, in terms of consistency and predictability for the private sector, you don't want regulators pointing in different directions. So that's another area where there could be better coordination. So that's sort of the high-level overview to introduce these bills. Again, at this point, we have no position on Senate Bill 24 in the task force. We are going to move into now talking about Senate Bill 201, the alignment and coordination team, and Senate Bill 203, the agency partnership coordinator. But before I do that, I want to pause and just see if there are any questions from members of the committee.
Any questions? Yeah, Senator Denbrough.
I don't actually have a question, but I just want to give a true confession that this bill actually came out of our work last year when I was chairing this committee. And a lot of it came was initially instigated by something that we were trying to do. I think Richard referenced a bill which became something that we called the CAPS program, Consolidated Analysis and Permitting, where we had a work group that was looking at, you know, are there ways that we can better articulate our permitting process and look at projects of statewide significance in a more comprehensive manner. And that really got me, as a new chair of that committee, you know, just aware of the great number of natural resource agencies that we had, appreciating the work that was going on within Richard's office with the Natural Resources Cabinet, but also created a sense of concern that, despite all appearances, Richard won't be with us forever. It's things are in good shape right now as far as people working together and acting in concert and strategically. But, you know, is there a, a way perhaps that we could look at the way our agencies are structured and bring them together into something more similar to what Washington State has with its Department of Natural Resources. Would that be beneficial? And that got me to look into some of the history, which Richard has alluded to, previous bills where, you know, I think part of the problem with at least some of the previous bills was the focus was really on doing this as a way of saving budget, saving money. And, you know, I think it's probably clear to most of us that if that's your reason for doing this, it's not going to really be successful. You have to, I mean, that may be an element that ideally will be a byproduct, but you need to be clear about what it is you're really looking for. And there, you know, you really want to be looking at greater effectiveness, efficiency, you know, of the agencies through their capacity to work together. And so that became the genesis of this, you know, rather than come up with a bill which said, you know, where we as a committee would be coming up with the proper makeup of this new department, to have a task force which would be empowered to look at this, but also to look at it according to certain criteria. And the criteria are laid out in the bill of, you know, the kinds of things that we should to be taken into consideration as this is being explored. And maybe the upshot is that we're best off staying with the model that we have now. This, you know, would be an opportunity for us to step back, reexamine how we're doing it, and see if we couldn't come up with something that would be that would serve us better and stand the test of time. So just as some kind of background, that's where this came from. Beth and Elsie put this together, and here we are.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Mr. Whitman, thank you. You mentioned Bruce Starr's bill, and my eyes perked up because as a newly elected senator, it was the first bill I read, 1,100 pages, and we never got to it. So lesson learned. Question I would
And that was the last bill you've read, right?
That's right.
Freshman mistake there.
Freshman mistake, no question. But you know, the goal is to read everything you vote on. The question I have is as you know, seems that the larger an agency gets, the more cumbersome it is. And it says in 24 that increase accountability and performance of state agencies, improve services to residents of the state. I mean, we have an agency called the DMV that people just continually yell at. Because of the inefficiencies. So how would expanding and making a larger agency improve what it does for the state, other than the fact that I could see consolidating human services things and maybe materials and supplies that we use, but the people in the field, I don't understand the nexus of how making it bigger is going to make it better.
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson. Bigger is not always better. The key here in terms of effectiveness and clarity, predictability for these agencies is dependent on a couple of things. It is affected by size, but most directly it's affected by management and how good the agency's management is in terms of setting out clear expectations for staff. And then finally, part of that clarity in terms of management is also getting clear direction from both the executive and legislative branches in terms of what those branches want the agency to be doing. So I think you can have a larger agency that is effective in delivering services to the public. The key is having clarity of responsibility, clarity of expectations for what the agency is supposed to be delivering.
Yeah. For example, if you combined ODFW and DAGAMI, the people in ODFW don't have the experience or the education to understand what DAGAMI is doing, and I don't understand what DAGAMI does either, but they don't have the ODFW experience. So if you combine these agencies, how do you integrate the workforce so that they can work seamlessly across those borders?
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, since you started with picking on Dogami, I'll pick on them a little bit too. And part of that is people know there was a proposal by Governor Kitzhaber for a 1-year budget for Dogami, and there's been some discussion about that agency in terms of potentially consolidating it with another agency. If you simply throw a Dogami together with another agency, there is a real risk that its functions would get lost. That is not something that I would recommend happen. The functions that Dogami carries out, those being particularly science functions related to hazards and planning for private sector and public sector in Oregon, are key functions that need to continue regardless of where they sit. Similarly, the regulatory functions of that agency around mining, including aggregate, are important functions that need to continue. So it's not enough to simply say we're going to consolidate one agency with another. It takes careful design and careful thinking about the management structure in terms of accountability and clarity of purpose for it to work.
One last question, if you mind. How do you integrate the resources, the financial resources of these different agencies, so that there's not a spillover from one agency's fees paying for another agency's services?
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, that issue of fees going to pay for what they're intended to pay for is actually an issue that exists within agencies as well as between them. I've been in several conversations or efforts, even in this session, where there's concern about agency fees being used for things that may not be fully in line with what the legislature intended. So, again, you can have those issues regardless of whether it's within one agency or between agencies, and it's the way to avoid them is clarity of the architecture, if you will, in terms of lines of responsibility and expectations.
Yeah, I would note that that has been an issue among other existing agencies currently, about where, you know, where fee payer money is being used within the agency, and certainly a new structure would not be immune to that, but nor are our old structures.
All right.
Either.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
Want to continue with the
sure.
next bills?
Yes, Chair Edwards, members. So let me start by saying that these next two bills are not mutually exclusive with the concept of Senate Bill 24. They could all proceed together. The first bill that we want to talk about is Senate Bill 201, which has to do with something called the Alignment and Coordination Team. And the second bill, Senate Bill 203, has to do with a particular function, if you will, which is this is going to sound like government speak, and so my apologies, but a partnership coordinator. I'll come back and tell you what that means in English in a minute. So first of all, on the Alignment and Coordination Team, going back to some of what I said at the beginning here, the concept is that let me tell you first what the concept is not. This is not a proposal to change who is making decisions or a concept that proposes to change the standards for those decisions. And I know that's of some concern to folks who I think are going to testify to this bill a little bit later today. The concept is within those confines of standards and decision makers, as much as possible, make the natural resource agencies work together, particularly on complex regulatory projects where there are multiple permits, and on complex policymaking efforts, again, where there are interest of multiple agencies involved. What we want to try to avoid, and what this bill is intended to do, is, again, having a situation where the regulated community or the public feel that the state is not being clear about where it's trying to go with either a particular regulatory decision or set of decisions or a particular policy. And so the concept of how to do this is, you could say it's agency consolidation light. It is essentially to put together a team, a small team of people with significant regulatory and policy experience who can work across agency lines, who have the authority of the governor and the governor's office to convene the agencies together, and again, within existing standards and existing laws to who makes those decisions, work to have them go be working in the same direction, whether it's on a particular project or whether it's on a new policy initiative. A good example of this in the policy arena where we're working right now is in Eastern Oregon on the sage-grouse initiative, where we're working with multiple state agencies, federal agencies, local entities, and the private sector to try to get everybody to put together a single plan on sage-grouse. That would be something in the policy arena. In the regulatory arena, this happens already with, and I know Senator Denbrough is aware of this, and it's some of what his task force was looking at. In the area of energy facility siting, we have a system that's analogous to this, where we have a single agency that's the decision maker, but they pull together essentially a team of other agencies to work on particular aspects of the project and to also pull all the permits for that project into one place so the decisions are made at one time. So those are a couple of quick examples. Let me give you a few details about this on the budget side, and then I'm going to turn it over to Annette Lieb, who's going to talk a little bit more on the policy side. There is a corresponding proposal in the governor's recommended budget for this agency coordination team. It exists in the policy option packages of a number of different agencies, including the governor's office, as well as the Department of Land Conservation and Development, the Department of Agriculture, and the Department of Environmental Quality. And essentially, the budget proposal is to have a lead for the team, and then three staff people with this sort of background who are able to work between agencies. There's also a position in this package specifically for Portland Harbor, the Portland Harbor Superfund project, and I want to speak to that for just a second. That's a good example of a situation where we have a federal agency in the lead for much of the work, Department of Environmental Quality in the lead for some of the work. We also have Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife with responsibilities, Oregon Department of Transportation with responsibilities, and Oregon Department of State Lands. There really needs to be somebody paying attention to making the state's interest as a whole for that effort, and that's the sort of thing that this team could support. So let me stop there and turn it over to Annette to talk a little bit about the policy idea behind this and also the relationship with some of the other parts of the governor's office, and then I'll come back and talk about the partnership coordinator and tell you what it really means.
Great. Thanks. Thank you, Richard. Good afternoon, Chair Edwards, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Annette Lieba, and I serve as the Regional Solutions Director in the Governor's Office. One thing I wanted to clarify is that as drafted, Senate Bill 201 appears to put the alignment and coordination team within the Regional Solutions Program, and that is not our intention. Our intention is to have the alignment and coordination team serve sort of as a glue between the Governor's Natural Resource Office and the Regional Solutions Program. So I wanted to highlight that clarification for you at the outset. The vision for Regional Solutions is to align state resources, both financial and technical assistance resources, with other public, private, and philanthropic resources to address the unique community and economic development needs of each Oregon region. The vision is implemented through regional solutions advisory committees, regional solutions teams, and state agency and regional solutions centers. For each region, the governor has appointed advisory committees to represent the public, private, and philanthropic interests. The roles of the advisory committee are twofold. First, to identify priorities for the region, and second, to help align resources to address those priorities. Regulatory technical assistance, alignment, and streamlining is a priority in 7 of the 11 regions around the state. Additionally, there are also numerous regions that have natural resource-related priorities, such as improving forest health and increasing access to water resources for agriculture. The alignment and coordination team is a needed resource to help regional solutions teams and natural resource agencies address large and complicated community and economic development projects. Having a team of people who have the authority of the governor's office to make things happen, both with federal and potentially state agencies, is needed to provide assistance to high-priority projects. Examples include port dredging permits, where you have issues of wetlands approvals, in-water work approvals, species and habitat protection, water quality, and those issues are addressed not only by state agencies, but you have an overlay of federal agencies as well. Another example is the proposed Red Rocks biofuel facility in Lake County. Proposal is to convert woody biomass into jet fuel, and it is a facility that is going to require a lot of local and state approvals in a region that doesn't necessarily have the capacity to address a project of this scale. This team is also needed to ensure that projects are being implemented around the state, the experience of people in the field can help inform the development of policy in Salem and vice versa. So we want to make sure that as we have people in the field working on these projects, they can take their experience and share it with folks here who are developing policy. And as policy is being developed, we're implementing it consistently around the state. So with that concludes what my remarks are, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thanks, Annette. Any questions? Senator Olson.
You set up the regional solution coordinators as a group to solve problems throughout our state. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting that we need to have someone put in between there now as a glue to bring those coordinators up to Mr. Whitman's office. I would question the fact that why did we set up these regional groups if they couldn't interact with, well, yeah, I thought I might direct this at you, Mr. Whitman. I find it quite interesting that we have to set another layer of bureaucracy in between there to bring this coordination forward.
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, best way I can respond to that, and I understand your concern about another layer of bureaucracy. The last thing we need to do here is make things more cumbersome than they already are. But let me give you an example of something we're working on right now where this sort of team would immediately step in and help. I think a number of folks on this committee are aware that we're working on some very important water resources development projects, including a fairly significant project in the Umatilla area out along the Columbia. And that's something I hope there'll be some more discussion about a little bit later in the session. Putting that particular program and project together requires not only working with local partners, the local irrigators, the Umatilla tribes, local governments, and the project proponents themselves. It also requires working with Water Resources Department, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, federal agencies, and incorporating that into the governor's recommended budget proposal. So the particular regional coordinator for that part of the state is working and helping on that particular project, but it really requires, for something that high level, requires somebody, unfortunately, here in Salem, who can also work with the agencies and work with you all in the legislative process to help craft and pull together a consensus around those sorts of projects. That's the sort of glue that this team would provide.
Yeah.
So when we set up the regional solutions coordinators, obviously then we didn't take into account the fact that we would be in difficult policy decisions. And this team is out there then, the regional solution teams is out there for the purpose of just garnering support for an issue and can't really make an impact on the program? Is that what you're saying?
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, that's not what I'm saying. The Regional Solutions Coordinators will handle 95% of the matters that come up from their committees as priorities for their areas. And they have the expertise and the authority and the resources, not only their own resources, but they're also, as you know, agency staff who are supporting those efforts as well. So they can handle 95%, I think, of that work. We're talking about, again, a small team to work on that other 5% of the very complicated, very big projects that, that require a high level of coordination, not just in a particular region, but really with statewide policymaking as well, as the water project raises those issues.
We're talking about high-profile projects.
Yeah.
Yeah, and innovative.
Then.
Yeah.
So then, are you saying we just need one of these teams to work with all seven regional solutions coordinator?
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, that's absolutely right.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
Any other questions on
I just
this
thought
one?
That was Richard's job already.
That's part of the problem.
Chair Edwards, Senator Thompson, that's my evil twin. Chair Edwards, with your permission, I'd like to speak briefly to Senate Bill 203
That'd be great.
Also. This is a much narrower proposal in terms of coordination. Right now, and again, I can illustrate this best by talking about some of the work that we're doing right now. We are putting together requests from the 14 natural resource agencies for what they believe priority should be for the federal appropriations process right now, both for congressional consideration and also for starting work on development of the next president's budget. So I have a stack about this high of proposals from natural resource agencies for what they believe the priority should be for that. Similarly, we have funding opportunities come up all the time from federal agencies in usually in a grant setting where the agencies will respond on an ad hoc basis right now. Sometimes they see them, sometimes they don't. No natural resource agency right now has a dedicated person to look for opportunities to secure additional federal funding. No natural resource agency right now has a dedicated person to work with the private sector to look for opportunities for public-private partnerships on work. So this position is a fairly narrow, it's a rifle shot. It's really to have a single person whose responsibility it is to work with all of the natural resource agencies and identify opportunities and bring them up through the normal process, which includes a check-in with this body to make sure the legislature is okay with seeking those opportunities. But really to make more effective use of the opportunities to bring in other funding. As you all know, the natural resource agencies have been under pretty severe budget pressure, both in terms of fees and general fund dollars over the last 5 to 7 years. And so this is a way of one piece of trying to address that particular situation. And with that, again, I'd be happy to answer any questions the committee might have.
Yeah, Senator Thompson.
I spent a couple of sessions on that natural resource budget. What I found, I think the governor's in the last couple of years has tried to put some more general fund dollars in there, but mostly it's fee-based. Yeah. So would these be general fund dollars you're looking for, or would that be spread out as a fee pay that is going to come out of their existing budgets from the natural resources?
Chair Edwards, Senator Thompson, the expectation, and this bill actually would have a fiscal, the expectation is that it would have to be paid out of either general funds or lottery funds. There's no expectation it would come out of fee dollars.
Okay.
Yeah, Senator Prozonsky.
Richard, it sounds really good, but at the same time, it seems like we have seen where there's, lack of better terms, turf wars between the agencies. Mm-hmm. And we see this, and here this appears that this would be more for projects that we would think would be economic driven for betterment of communities and the regions and stuff like that. But I still have some reluctance as to how this would actually play out if you have an agency who just has a constitutional disagreement with another agency as to what their duties are to this, to Oregon, and how those type of issues would actually be worked out.
Chair Edwards, Senator Brzezinski, I think your question goes to both Senate Bill 201 and Senate Bill 203. And with regard to Senate Bill 201, I think I was quite clear that we're not changing decision makers or standards. So to some degree, there will always, and you're going to hear this later this afternoon, there will always be some potential for disagreement among agencies. And there should be, because they're applying different standards, frankly. This is really oriented toward those situations where, given existing standards and decision makers, nevertheless, the agencies have the ability, in terms of how they implement those standards, to diverge and diverge for reasons that may have to do more with positions of line staff or something like that. And so the idea is to have a higher level staff person who can make sure that the agencies really are communicating with each other. And if there is a policy disagreement between the agencies, that it's a real policy disagreement. It's not something that is a misunderstanding or a situation where it hasn't gotten elevated as it needs to get elevated up to agency directors. So it's a way of making sure that the existing decision-making structure is working the way that it's supposed to be. That's why these positions would not sit in the agencies. They would sit in the governor's office and have that authority and responsibility that I mentioned earlier. Same thing with Senate Bill 203. We don't as often see disagreements among agencies in terms of what people are pursuing in terms of funding opportunities, but in terms of setting priorities. For instance, for talking with our delegation about the appropriations process, there needs to be a single unified voice that's providing clear input to the delegation about what the priorities are. And that's the idea behind the bill.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So just following up on that, Richard, the fact that the partnership coordinator would be located within DAS, you know, I'm just wondering about how that is going to work in practice. You know, if for example, you know, there are issues between agencies, and then this coordinator is over here in DAS, you know, I see a potential for frustration there.
Chair Edwards, Senator Denbrough, first of all, in general, and I should have said this at the outset, Senate Bill 201 and Senate Bill 203 both could use some additional work. And so I just want to recognize we're perfectly willing to sit down with some of the interests that could be affected by these bills and get their input and benefit from that input and make tweaks to these bills. If there are ways of improving the bills, we're completely open to that. And so if there's a desire to put together a quick sort of work group to try to do that work, we're very open to that. So to Senate Bill 203 specifically in putting that position in DAS rather than the governor's office, the main reason for doing that is recognizing that the Office of Budget and Management in DAS is really the office with expertise in terms of the fiscal financing side of the agencies to be able to ground truth, if you will, what agencies are saying about their needs. And so some of the thinking there was to put them in DAS with that in mind. I will say right now, DAS and specifically the Office of Budget and Management are working just really hand in glove with my office on agency budgets, and the level of coordination between my office and BAM on putting the budget together for the legislature for this session, it's just been really fantastic, and they've done a great job. So should it be in the governor's office or BAM? It could go either way. I think we're open, perfectly open to discussion. The important thing is that there's communication back and forth between budget and management and the governor's office on those issues.
So they've capitulated perfectly. That's what you're saying. I'm just giving you a bad time. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Whitman. The question on 203, apparently we haven't been coordinating in the past. We just haven't done this. The agencies haven't worked together, so we have to pass a law or pass a bill to put somebody in there to make them coordinate. And that's a rhetorical question, but I mean, it just sounds like we just aren't doing it.
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, we are doing it, but we are doing it on an ad hoc basis, and as a result, we are leaving opportunities on the table that we should be taking advantage of, frankly. I'm going to point you back to Ms. Achterman's testimony about coordination between the natural resource agencies, and she actually does a great job of describing all the different elements of what the governor's natural resource office tries to do, and basically makes the point that it hasn't been given the funding and resources to really do its job effectively. And so these proposals that you have before you today in the form of Senate Bill 201 and 203 are modest incremental proposals to start seeing that we are not leaving opportunities on the table, but we're doing what Oregonians deserve in terms of providing resources and the service that they all deserve. So that's the motivation behind the bill. Again, it's essentially natural resource agency consolidation light. It's a couple of incremental steps in that direction. And they were offered really with that intent in mind. Another direction to go would be, you know, toward complete consolidation now. That has its own issues, as you pointed out, Senator Olson, in terms of things getting lost. But these would be some incremental steps that if this body chooses, it could take to start moving in that direction.
If we do, Senate Bill 24 and form the task force, and then they recommend this consolidation effort and we make things smaller, how does this affect 201 and 203? Do we lose those people we just hired?
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, no. Again, as I said a little while ago, I don't think the ideas are mutually exclusive. The 201 and 203 are tools that would be useful regardless of how many natural resource agencies you have.
Thank you.
Any other questions for either Richard or Annette? Annette, did you have anything to add to 203?
No, thank you.
To 201,
yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you both for being here and your testimony and answering good questions. So. Yeah.
And we'll stick around, or I'll stick around for 210.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, next we're going to go into some testimony from some folks that have signed up to speak on these bills. Let's see, we've got Peggy Lynch. Why don't you start off? And it looks like you might have comments about each of the bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. So this is not a new issue. None of the three issues are. Starting with the Senate Bill 24, the League has been involved in conversations around how best to provide the services of our natural resource agencies for years. In 2013, we testified on House Bill 2620 that talked about identifying reforms to advance the goals of reducing costs, duplication, and fragmentation of functions. We found that especially appealing, but a focus on the purpose and the outcome should be the measurement in determining the worth of any reorganization effort, not just doing it for reorganization seemingly good ideas. The biggest message I would like to make on Senate Bill 24 is that any project of this magnitude should require broad public outreach, education, and participation. So should you move this forward, this current bill doesn't have, it has a group of insiders having the conversation, but there are many of us in this room who could provide information that would help in determining that effort. Director Whitman, policy advisor Whitman, sorry about that. That's what the gray hair is all about. Mentioned Gail Achterman, and at that hearing in 2011, the League testified right afterwards, and we shared a letter that we had done in 2009, which I have shared with you. And Senator Olson, in particular, we recognize that small agencies can be efficient because they have to be, and larger agencies can be efficient because they have economies of scale. So those are a part of the conversations that you need to have as you make a decision about whether or not this is a good idea. Going on to 201, the League has been very involved in the Regional Solutions Program and process. We have worked very hard to increase the public outreach and the assurance that the general public and all local governments in those regions know about regional solutions. We also advocate for many of the natural resource budgets. This is an over $1 million ask out of a very minute amount of general fund dollars that we have that are usually allocated for natural resources. And so we have real concerns about whether or not this is really a good idea to add four more people. We have advocated, and we did last session or in 2013, to add more staff people from the natural resource agencies to help with the regional solutions program. If you're going to have it, you have to have people being able to do the job. But this is yet another layer and concern about the fiscal, even though the fiscal isn't linked to this. This is just the program side. There is a fiscal to this. So we are very concerned. In regional solutions, there are regional solutions coordinators for the 11 regional solutions areas. There is a Business Oregon person. And then there are sometimes shared staff, but there's ODOT and DEQ and DLCD and housing all have seats at the table. So we are already spending a great deal of money doing this coordination effort in regional solutions. And so it's concerning to see yet another layer being added on in this particular program until, frankly, we get regional solutions more mature because it has a ways to go. Officially, it was just created by you in 2014 with House Bill 4015. Lastly, on 203, it was interesting to hear the conversation because it's not a bill that I really followed. But again, we're talking over $250,000 for the position. I understand it correctly, it's to help coordinate all those grant opportunities. With 14 agencies and all of the different grant opportunities, that's going to be a challenge for one person to do, so it won't be very long before we would have more people being asked to help do that work. Right now, it's being done by individual agencies in small pieces, and so I would just have a concern whether or not this is the best use of our limited general fund dollars, particularly those limited dollars that when we need dollars for natural resource agencies to do their work. And thank you. I'd be happy to answer questions. It's an area that we're very interested in.
Thank you, Peggy, and I appreciate your input. You're a regular at the back of the Natural Resources Subcommittee, and there's not many people that are regulars sitting in the Natural Resource Subcommittee, so
The House bill that we did set up for regional solutions? Could you give me the number again?
Sure. House Bill 4015. Before that, in 2013, you had House Bill 2620, and that was the one that I mentioned about the first part of the letter. That bill then created a report, and then you decided to go ahead and actually, although the governor's office has had a regional solutions kind of program, you made it official with 4015 and set up the process and set up the committees and so on.
Floyd, did you have a question?
I did not.
Okay.
Thanks.
I do. Thanks, Mr. Chair. Peggy, it's great to have you as always.
Thank you.
Really appreciate your input, and particularly with respect to your comment about Senate Bill 24 and the need for public input on it. The makeup of the task force that's in the bill, I think that sort of came out of LC. I'm not sure. Did we have a lot of conversation about that? But I do think if we move forward with this bill, we should amend it to make sure that there's representation from the public in it, and not just agency people.
Mr. Chair, Senator D'Embro, thank you. There are a number of stakeholders, I think, in this room who would be more than willing. And frankly, we have all been working on this. The Integrated Water Resource Strategy has provided with a number of coordination efforts. This has not been not happening. It actually has been happening in many ways, and they are working together in a great many ways. Could we have more efficiencies? Could we do a better job? But each of those agencies has a different mission, as Senator Brzezinski noted. And that's really critical not to forget in trying to find better ways to do the job.
Could I ask a follow-up? One of the other questions that's come up is if we were to have a more consolidated natural resources agency, what does that mean for our various natural resources commissions? Would they all go away, and would we have just one commission? And, you know, I suppose that's something that this task force could look into. My sense is we probably would continue to need multiple commissions, all of which would be supported by the agency. And I'd like your thoughts on that.
Chair Edwards and Senator D'Embro, because I sit in the back of room for a number of those boards and commissions, I see the kind of hard work that they do and the complicated work that they do on behalf of Oregon. So it would be very challenging for them for us to have one board that would or commission that would help direct the policy for these 14 agencies. I could see, I suppose, that there would be one with these subgroups. But it also doesn't take care of some of the efficiencies when you start looking at, and we did look at this as well, consolidating boards and commissions. When you start, if you don't get rid of some, you don't have the savings. So what would the difference be if you had the Natural Resource Commission and the commission, the LCDC Commission and the Water Resources Commission and so on? You would actually even increase the staffing needs. So. Knowing what those boards and commissions do and seeing the hard work that they do, incredible work that they do, it would be really difficult. So it certainly would be part of the conversation.
Thank you, Peggy.
Thank you very much.
Next, I'm going to call up Jeff Stone and Jonathan Manton. And I know you guys aren't signed up together, but I'm just calling you both up just for efficiency of our time.
Efficiency, kumbayas.
Age before beauty.
I don't know what you're
going to do. We'll let the chair decide which one.
Don't ask me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thanks for having us today. My name is Jonathan Manton, and I'm here on behalf of actually two clients today, Central Oregon Land Watch and Water Watch of Oregon. And I thought I would keep my comments just to Senate Bill 201. I realized today when I was preparing my testimony that of the two clients, one was formed in 1986 and one was formed in 1985. That's right. So I'm going to go with the seniority system and with Water Watch first, because it was formed 1 year before. It was founded in 1985. Water Watch is a nonprofit river conservation group dedicated to the protection and restoration of natural flows in Oregon's rivers. We work to ensure that enough water is protected in Oregon's rivers to sustain fish, wildlife, recreation, and other public uses of Oregon rivers, lakes, and streams. And our concern in opposition to Senate Bill 201 in its current form has to do with some of the points that have already been raised. The first two sections, Section 15A and 15B, could lead to the agency missions being compromised, as well as the statewide conservation goals being compromised. The names of the position are a natural resources alignment coordinator. And when the governor's office is directing the coordination, coordinate alignment, which are, it sounds to me an awful lot like you're telling agencies to align. And when you do that, you potentially sacrifice that agency, one of the agency's missions. There are some concerns with the Regional Solutions Program. So the Regional Solutions Program reach over natural resource agency decision-making and priority setting is of a growing concern to a number of folks within the conservation community. Despite the fact that many regional priorities involved Oregon's waters, lands, forests, species, conservation interests do not often have a seat on the RACs, on the regional advisory committees, and as such, regional priorities are determined based on economic desires of a small and select group of economic interests in any given region. There's also problems with the public notice and comment. They're currently, we would argue, inadequate. It's a 7-day notice and comment period. And so we have a bill over in the House that we're working to try to get that extended to 31 days. And so hopefully we can work with you and others in the building on that. It's basically the same concerns from Central Oregon Land Watch. Central Oregon Land Watch is a 501c3 not-for-profit organized in Bend with a mission to help achieve a balanced and integrated approach to land use planning that will safeguard natural resources and foster economically thriving communities. And we have a very strong focus on a fair, open, and accessible decision-making process. And the makeup of the Central Oregon Regional Solutions Advisory Committee, I think, illustrates our point. There are 11 members on that committee currently, but no one with a from the conservation community. The conservation or economic interests, as you know, in Central Oregon are huge, with cycling or fishing, conservation-based tourism, and there are lots of groups there that would be perfect candidates for Iraq there. Some of those included are Trout Unlimited, the Conservation Alliance, Central Oregon Land Watch, my client, the Oregon League of Conservation Voters, Oregon Natural Desert Association, Deschutes Paddle Alliance, and on and on. There are a number of groups there that are very interested in promoting conservation-based economic development, and none of them get a seat at the table on the Regional Solutions RAC for Central Oregon. And you combine that with a lack of adequate public notice and comment, and you have a large segment of the population that just doesn't have a chance to really participate in this process thus far. So I've closed with just kind of two examples. One was mentioned earlier was the Portland Harbor cleanup. Certainly we think that the positions are in place to coordinate and have leadership on that now, and we encourage that agency coordination to work on that. We don't think this bill is necessary to do that. And then finally, just want to make sure that I make the point that we don't have to exclude conservation-oriented interests in order to get economic development. There was a bill that we worked on just a few sessions ago with Senator Telfer's bill, where we were able to sit down at the table and work on a industrial land site in Redmond, and it needed to be changed. And we got everybody at the table together, and we were able to come to a position of supporting a bill to change an industrial lands designation in Redmond. So with that, I'll close. I appreciate very much the chance to be here today, and look forward to working with you this session.
So you're saying that you approve of the legislature making land use decisions on a site-by-site basis. That's what I heard.
The point of the point of the story was that prior to that, to our getting to agreement on that issue, we were included in the conversation that we had everyone working around the table together.
Okay.
And, once that happened and we were included in the process, then we got to a point where there was bill.
I'm just giving you a bad time. Jeff.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jeff Stone. I'm the Executive Director for the Oregon Association of Nurseries. I'm here to talk to you very briefly about Senate Bill 24. This committee in prior iterations has talked about really a Department of Ecology model and whether or not that's the right thing for the state. I mean, there's a panel that's going to be following, Mr. Chair, that will submit a letter with my signature on it. And so I want to take just a minute to talk to this committee about the perceptions of the nursery and greenhouse industry. First of all, I think that the departments have come a long way through the leadership of Richard Whitman and others about become outcome-oriented and working on a number of issues that cross Department of Environmental Quality, ODA, Water Resources departments to try to get at outcomes that serve numerous stakeholders. I think that is the area where the focus should be, and lauded for this governor's office, the type of cooperation that you are seeing amongst these varying agencies. I would state that the nursery industry depends on the Water Resources Department, the Oregon Department of Agriculture, and DEQ all to make the industry the best it can be. And I think that this particular bill, while well-intentioned, I think is before its time and would urge this committee's careful consideration of trying to go for the outcomes that are necessary to serve the natural resource agencies. So I'll conclude my testimony because you're going to hear from smarter people than me in just a few minutes.
Thank you, Jeff. Any questions for the panelists?
Nope.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Next, I will call up Mike Freese, Katie Fast, and Heath Curtis.
Good afternoon, Chair Edwards and members of the committee. For the record, Katie Fast with the Oregon Farm Bureau, and being passed out is a coalition letter in opposition of Senate Bill 24 from a broad range of natural resource organizations. The natural resource agencies are collectively less than 2% of the state budget. Therefore, we see this as a bill looking for a problem. The agencies are organized and managed for unique purposes. For example, Department of Agriculture is an agency that has a mission that's both regulatory and promotion and marketing of Oregon's agricultural products. We would be concerned that the promotion mission of ODA would be lost when combined with agencies that are solely regulatory. We're also share concerns that have been expressed earlier regarding the loss of the expertise of so many citizens that we have serving on the different natural resource agencies, boards, and commissions. These are folks that bring a unique perspective and expertise and knowledge to those agencies and those boards and commissions that a single board could not share or encompass the broad range of natural resource issues and products that we raise across the state. And with that, I'll pass it on to one of my colleagues.
Chair Edwards, members of the committee, my name is Heath Curtis. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Forest Industries Council. We too are testifying in opposition to Senate Bill 24. And I thought I would kind of cover three major points. The first is, with all due respect to Mr. Whitman, in my mind, a bill's repeated failure in the legislature is not necessarily evidence of its value. We've been down this road before, and this body has considered natural resource consolidation and has chosen not to act. I would posit to you that those were good decisions at that time and are now as well. Second, I would kind of emphasize the point that both Katie and Ms. Lynch made earlier. I'm not familiar with all of the agencies in Oregon. I primarily work with two, the Oregon Department of Forestry and the Department of Environmental Quality. There you have the Board of Forestry and the Environmental Quality Commission making policy decisions in the context of management of those agencies. The members of the EQC and the Board of Forestry have a really hard job. I'm actually shocked at the amount that we ask them to carry to each meeting, both in terms of relevant expertise and just frankly homework. The hard part is that if you elevate the oversight function of those boards and commissions to a higher level over the top of a consolidated natural resource agency, they struggle to have expertise and enough information to be relevant for those policy decisions. So what happens in those circumstances is frequently the board or commission is forced to defer to the input from the agency. In my mind, that doesn't necessarily make good policy. We think that having multiple boards and commissions, each specializing in their areas as we have today, is a unique thing in Oregon and a very good thing. And so we would oppose efforts to consolidate those. To Senator Dimbrough's point, that wouldn't necessarily have to happen under an agency consolidation scheme. But to the extent that you're not consolidating boards and commissions, and to the extent that you're not consolidating agency heads, I would question whether or not you're actually consolidating at all. In that context, in my mind, it's quite likely that all you would be doing is adding another management layer between the agency heads and the governor's office. We don't find that to be particularly compelling, and for that reason, we would oppose Senate Bill 24. Thanks.
Thank you. And as just as a matter of clarity, I think that Richard Whitman was testifying about context, historical context. He, in fact, he said at the beginning that he wasn't testifying in favor of the bill, I believe, just for clarity. You made it sound like he was in favor of the bill. Am I correct? I'm getting a head nod, yes.
Chair Edwards, with apologies, I didn't mean to put words in Mr. Whitman's mouth.
I was just making
mouth.
Sure we were clear.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, does that mean Mr. Whitman opposes the bill?
I don't know that Mr. Whitman is authorized one way or the other.
To the extent that Mr. Whitman's point is that this concept has been before the legislature before, I totally agree.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you. Chair Edwards, Vice Chair Olson, members of the committee, my name is Mike Fries. I'm here on behalf of Associated Oregon Industries, who represents approximately 1,500 businesses across the state that employ about 200,000 people. Like the fellow panelists and many of the previous panelists, we tend to agree that this is a little bit of a solution in search of a problem, that there are a number of ways that our current processes work that are not necessarily always advantageous to business, in that sometimes there are we run into situations where one agency may point a finger at another, but they are charged with different duties, and we want to make sure that those duties remain clear and distinct and separate, so that we know the process as businesses, either to get permits out the door, whether it's through DEQ. So many of our members work a lot with DEQ and permit writers, but we want to make sure that there's a clear process in doing that, to get the or clear process in working with agency permit writers and then department heads, to make sure that the there's a consistent agency position that is not confounded with what Department of Forestry might be doing or the Department of Ag. We appreciate the goals that are outlined in the legislation. I mean, it's pretty clear that all of us would like an efficient and accountable government. That I'm not convinced, though, that by consolidating agencies that we will get that. Also, and this has already been touched on, we do work closely with the commissions as well, and we do rely a lot on their expertise and their involvement in many different issues. And so by making this potentially even reducing the number of commissions or what their role is, we have some real concern there. So, and then also just briefly on Senate Bill 201, I would say it's the theme kind of carries over there as well, that we don't want another layer of management or another layer of state government that we as businesses need to have to get approval from. So with DEQ, the legislature has charged DEQ, for instance, with certain duties and responsibilities. We want DEQ making those decisions. We don't want another layer of bureaucracy or another manager level position then making the decisions over DEQ or trying to guide DEQ down a path that maybe isn't otherwise useful. So with that, I'd be happy to stand for any questions.
Sure. Any questions for the panelists?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to say that, you know, your comments seem to be presupposing that this task force would decide that agency consolidation is the right path for us. But, you know, the bill is calling for a task force to look at what the best organization would be to achieve these ends. And, you know, I for one, would not necessarily assume that this is going to result in a super agency, but rather, you know, it's calling for, you know, having smart people come and, you know, take a step back and look at, you know, what are some models that, you know, perhaps we don't have the ideal organization right now. Just because it is what it is doesn't mean that it's necessarily the ideal. And, you know, I mean, certainly if you have a task force that's looking into this, that could potentially lead to a change. And if you're against change at any cost, then you might say, okay, we shouldn't even look at this. But that, it just it seems odd to me, frankly.
If I may respond, yes, Senator please. Edwards, Senator Denbrough, and thank you for the comments. You know, I think we had a lot of discussion about that as we were preparing for today. But, you know, I think you have a coalition of folks who have a lot of faith in our natural resource agencies and the structure that they operate under. And I think we see that task force as not needed and as a potential waste of government time of going through that process of reviewing a model that we're very comfortable with. You know, additionally, there were comments earlier about concerns with not having stakeholders even served and named on the task force. You know, I think for us that represent real people on the ground that are dealing with these agencies daily, that's a large concern as well. You know, having a solely state inside look, you know, and not having it broader. But really, you know, you're looking at a coalition who is very comfortable, very supportive of the situation and the structure that we have right now.
Chair Edwards, Senator Denbrough, I understand what you're saying, and that it might be wise to look at the way to consolidate. I understand that side. The concern I have is the way that the bill is drafted and how incredibly broad and really what are we trying to fix? I guess the task force, what makes me nervous is that the task force is charged to look at consolidating as a means to fix a few or I guess, to achieve a few goals. Those goals are fairly broad, and what's uncomfortable is how's that task force then supposed to look at consolidation just for that purpose, or are there other purposes that these agencies provide that are equally as important, and will those also be included? And again, I think the members that are part of that task force are incredibly important. And making sure that if a task force is to go forward, then we're all well represented in that group.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you. Last call for Senate Bills 24, 201, and 203. Is there anybody else that wanted to testify on those bills? You're up.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Mike MacArthur, Association of Oregon Counties. I also have another hat here today. I volunteer as the convener of the Regional Solutions Advisory Committee for Hood River, Wasco, and Sherman Counties. Fortunately, my comments here today align for both of those roles, so I'll be able to speak out of one side of my mouth. It seems to me that in all three instances, the goals are similar and admirable. I understand, I think, what Senator Denbrough is trying to accomplish with the task force, and I very much support Richard Whitman and Annette were saying in terms of their goals and trying to move forward some of the projects that the Regional Solutions Advisory Committees are coming up with. So I think the goal is greater coordination of the natural resource agencies in support of local initiatives, projects, and problem solving. We also need to institutionalize this system. We aren't all going to be here forever, as we've seen evidence of recently. And so we need to put this into statute and into systems that work. And this system is working. The regional solution system is working. We have 11 regions around the state with 9 coordinators, well-established regional solutions advisory committees for the last 4 years, involving local elected officials representing their whole communities. In my region, there are at least 6 elected officials on our advisory committee, and we're working on projects and solving problems for that whole region. One of them, I think, is quite illustrative of what this problem is with the natural resource industry. When we started early on in North Central, Annette was our, Ms. Liba was our coordinator, and one of the projects identified was the industrial land expansion at the Dalles, Port of the Dalles. Industrially zoned land, an area of that land which is a basalt ledge near the river, that because there are pockets there, collects water when it rains occasionally, which it does in that country. And when those pockets created, they were deemed to be wetlands. So in order to get that land into be permitted, to allow it to be permitted, we had to coordinate with a number of, or we, Annette, had to coordinate with a number of agencies. And I think I may have gotten the list partially correct in that it was DEQ, DLCD, ODFNW, DSL, BPA, NOAA, NIMS, the tribes, and the Corps. And so regional solutions coordinators are generalists. You know, they're generally working with the economic development, DEQ, land use, transportation, and so on. What we're missing in this system is a stronger presence of the natural resource agencies. And that's what I think some of these efforts here, 201, 203, were trying to accomplish. So in that regard, we're very much in support of the efforts that you're trying to accomplish, that the administration is trying to accomplish here. And we want to bring the natural resource industries into the system more actively. And I think there's a number of ways to accomplish that. And I think it's going to take a greater investment in the staff to do that. And I think that's a good investment. Thank you.
Mike, I have a quick question, but after Senator Thompson.
So do you think that could be accomplished with a lower level person, maybe one person from each agency, kind of being that would be their job, and then they attend and go to these regional solution meetings and sit in on those and work with those groups?
Chair Edwards, Senator Thompson.
Instead of having the top level.
Excuse me. Chair Edwards, Senator Thompson, it seems to me that this coordination happens best at a project level. So it's not necessary to have folks there if you don't have a project that affects their particular area of concern.
Right.
So having someone at a higher level, DAS or governor's office, coordinating where that's needed, okay, and to identify where the natural resource agencies need to join the effort, I think makes more sense to me.
So Mike, if I'm understanding correctly, you're saying that regional solutions, the RACs, are very, they're great tools. My follow-up question is whether or not do you feel like they have enough juice to bring the focus that's needed on big projects? Because the legislation is focused on high-priority projects, and the testimony was that 95% of the projects are handled fine by regional solutions, but there's that 5% of just special high-priority projects that need a little bit extra focus. I'm just trying to make sure that I understand your perspective on that.
Mr. Chair, I think you heard the testimony that there are percentage of the projects that are heavily engaged with natural resource issues, whether it be forestry, water, agriculture, et cetera. And for those, you need this expertise of those folks in those agencies who don't necessarily have the capacity right now to engage.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. We are going to close the public hearings on Senate Bills 24, 201, and 203. We're going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 210. And while staff briefly explains what the measure does, I'd like to call forward Richard Whitman and Brett Brownscombe to kick it off. And then we have scheduled or signed up to testify 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. My basic math, if you guys have the same per everybody else, everybody gets about three minutes. That gives us all time for questions and answers as well. And so if you can kind of keep it brief-ish, that'd be great.
Senate Bill 210 allows applicants to obtain certain expedited reviews and by certain agencies.
Chair Edwards, members of the committee, for the record, Richard Whitman, Governor's Natural Resource Office, here testifying with regard to Senate Bill 210. I'm going to be very brief on this and allow Mr. Brownscombe to go into a little bit more detail. What is motivating this bill is the continued budget pressure that I alluded to earlier on natural resource agencies. This is not a bill about expedited processing. The thing motivating this bill is how can we increase the degree to which folks who are using the services of state agencies are actually paying for that service. You have several options how you want to fund these agencies. You can put general fund or lottery fund into them. You can increase fees, or you can seek greater reimbursement of cost. This bill is really all about reimbursement of cost. It's very conceptual. It needs work. Frankly, the drafting doesn't reflect exactly what we would like to see. But the concept is, at least for some permits, to allow, and this is important, to allow opt-in for applicants to reimburse for some of the cost of agency review of those permits. So if it's an opt-in, if you're doing this on a voluntary basis, not mandating it, how can you create some incentives for opt-in for paying for that service? Well, one way, but not the only way, is expediting the review. That's the theory behind this bill. There are other ways of incenting people to opt into greater reimbursement that I'm not going to go into detail here now. But the idea is this is an approach that might be used for dealing with part of the budget problems at some of the natural resource agencies. So Brett Brownscombe is here, acting deputy director at Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, really to focus on some of what's going on at that agency, which is illustrative of the broader issue.
Thanks, Richard. And Chair Edwards, Vice Chair Olson for the record, and members of the committee for the record, my name is Brett Brownscombe, acting interim deputy director at Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And what I thought I'd do is, within the few minutes, run through the relevance of Senate Bill 210 to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. So as you know, the bill has two parts. One is allowing an applicant to file for and receive an expedited review of certain applications by paying a fee. And the other side of it is providing the reviewing agency or the regulatory reviewing agency the authority to contract or provide funding to a state agency, municipality, city, county, to obtain needed input in processing that that application for a regulatory permit. That's the side of the bill of relevance to Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. So the department, as you know, doesn't own most of the land on which Oregon's fish and wildlife and their habitat depend. It relies on working with landowners and also the regulatory agency community to ensure the public's mission of protecting and enhancing fish and wildlife and their habitat and the public's enjoyment of that heritage is achieved. Part of the ability to work within the regulatory process is if you're a private entity and you're seeking to develop or use natural resources for an economic purpose, and this has been discussed with earlier bills here, you come into contact with a regulatory permitting process that often spans multiple levels, local, state, federal, and often developers have to deal with all three. And so the lead regulatory entity, or often entities in the situation, is generally not Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. It's another agency. But because of the potential impacts on fish and wildlife or their habitat, there are various laws and processes that trigger ODF&W's involvement. For ODF&W, this isn't a casual or infrequent level of involvement. There are, despite being salaried by hunting and fishing dollars, which gets to the broader issue, which I'll get to in a minute, an estimate of about 40% to 60% of ODF&W staff time, depending on which district you are in around the state and which issue you happen to be working on, 40% or 6% to 60%, that range of ODF&W staff time is spent on non-hunting and non-fish management related work. That type of work includes engagement, frequent engagement in these areas. One is providing technical comments or recommendations in response to development proposals. So this would be input that is either required by law or requested of ODF&W by another state agency, a regulatory permitting agency at all levels of government, whether it's a state agency, a local county who's dealing with a development project, or Department of State Lands, for example, with removal fill permits. that's a big chunk of time, and approximately anywhere between 10% and 25% of staff time in a lot of districts goes into that type of consultation work. Another chunk of time is spent on a wide array of resource planning efforts tied to habitat use for economic development purposes at the municipal or county level. This is everything from changes in county comprehensive plans, expansions of urban growth boundaries, state forest management plan revisions, or federal resource management revisions, whether it's forest planning with the U.S. Forest Service or BLM rangelands. Another chunk of staff time is spent providing technical comments, data, project planning advice, or recommendations to the habitat projects of watershed councils, soil and water conservation districts, tribes, individual landowners. Oftentimes, these projects happen in either on or in coordination with agricultural and small woodland owners, as well as a host of other partners. So these are all areas where staff is spending a significant amount of its time and not necessarily getting reimbursed for it. So the tension within the agency is the primary funding source of this time is hunting and fishing dollars. The outcome of the projects that staff are spending their time reviewing are not necessarily hunting and fishing related. So where there are other avenues for funding OFNW's time on this type of work, it generally takes the form of three different models. One is charging a fee upfront to support staff time in creating a program dedicated to addressing a specific type of or category of project types. The example of this is the hydroelectric fee associated with Oregon Water Resources processing of applications for hydroelectric development. A portion of that fee goes into creating a fund that supports ODMW staff to work specifically on that category of projects. Another type of another model is direct funding of staff to work with a developer on a specific project. So this is also a model that enhances the agency's capacity and provides the needs the developer has relevant to a specific project. So examples here include Oregon Department of Transportation, transmission and pipeline development, as well as ODOT. So this is where, for example, the Boardman-Hemingway line, you have a company that's paying for a staff to exist within Department of Fish and Wildlife to work with them and consult with them on best locations for that that transmission line in avoiding sensitive fish and wildlife habitat, achieving the state's mission on protecting and enhancing habitat while also helping that developer with that project. The last model is a reimbursement for services. This model provides compensation for ODFNW's work, but it doesn't necessarily enhance agency capacity. It doesn't provide funding up front. It relies on the agency shifting existing employee staff time away from other important ongoing fish and wildlife management work into work on a specific project proposal, and then after the fact reimbursing for cost recovery for that staff time. This is the model that is tied to the Department of Energy's Energy Facility Siting Council cost recovery efforts. So what I wanted to close with is in most cases, those types of cost recovery models don't exist. The department is heavily funded through hunting and fishing dollars that are tied to the North American Fish and Wildlife Management model. That model evolved out of the early 1900s at a time when things were far more simple and less complex. Today, Oregon's population is growing, continues to grow. The demands on resources are continuing to grow. And you have a legal arena that is now much more complex and intensive as well. And so ODFNW operates in this arena today of public and private demands that are far outlive the funding model that has sustained the agency to date. The agency still, though, relies heavily upon hunting and fishing dollars to support things, including staff work on development efforts brought forward by others. So in Senate Bill 210, it provides a relevant platform for this discussion about what type of cost reimbursement or cost provision model is most appropriate, but it's also a platform for the larger discussion around how do you appropriately and sustainably support the work of the department that is important not just to the hunters and the anglers that have traditionally footed the bill, but to the broader public, including development interests, as well as conservation interests who are looking to achieve resource use, but also achieve the protection and enhancement of those resources. So I'll end there, but that is the I tried to get into some detail as well as the bigger picture relevance of this bill to ODFNW. Thank you.
Thanks, Brett. Any questions for the panel? Yeah, Senator Olson.
I do. This sounds like a citizen's nightmare. This relates very heavily to land use. For example, as a builder, somebody's got big deep pockets, they get stuff done, and everybody else that's out there that plays the game correctly kind of gets shoved in the back burner so that you can recoup costs and you can expedite their process, and everybody else sits in the background. The question is, I guess for you, first off, I don't see you listed in here as available under this section. I don't see ODFW on the, is it supposed to be on this bill? So it's supposed to be added to it?
Chair Edwards and Vice Chair Olson, so the quick answer, and Richard, please let me know if I'm wrong, but my understanding is the reason it is written that way, and I'll turn to Richard as this is a governor's bill, but the department is not a regulatory agency, so we're not the ones in the position of doing the permit review and the regulatory decision making.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Whitman. Will you even answer that?
Very briefly, Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, the bill specifically names the regulatory programs that this would work through, but it is a general authorization for a variety of entities that are involved in that review, whether it be a wetlands permit or whatever, to get their cost reimbursed. So it does not name specific agencies, but ODFW, along with others, would be authorized to be reimbursed under this bill if an applicant elects in. Remember, this is an opt-in voluntary program.
Okay, follow up?
Yeah.
If with an extra paycheck, an extra whatever the fee would be to cover this cost, you can get an application done in what, less than 120 days? Or is it 14 days? Minimum 14 days?
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, I believe the timeline is 90 days.
90 days.
Or, I'm sorry, 120 days.
120 days. Thank you. So with that extra paycheck that you can get it done in 120 days, why couldn't you get a normal application done in 120 days?
So Chair Edwards, Vice Chair Olson, so again, ODFNW is not the entity that's issuing the permit or the authorization. What we do, however, do based on the current system is, given that another entity, whether it be Department of State Lands, Department of Environmental Quality, or another issuing entity, a regulatory agency, they do have timelines associated with their permitting process. ODFNW staff are then drawn away from other projects to support input, consultation, recommendations into that process in a way that allows those agencies to meet their obligations in a timely manner. So from ODFNW's perspective, we feel like we are shifting or reprioritizing staff time already when an application comes in based on the request of another state agency. We're just not necessarily seeing, the point for us is we're not seeing any compensation for that time, and the time that is spent on that is being heavily funded by hunting and angling dollars. So there's a tension within the agency about, well, this work is providing some level of benefit to a private entity as well as the public that benefits from economic development, but it's not necessarily the nexus to the funding source for those staff providing that input is less than strong.
Follow up.
I understand the concept. It just, when it, you know, it doesn't look quite right. It looks like somebody with a big checkbook can come in and just shoot through the process, and somebody with a little checkbook is stuck in the process. Now, if that's the case, why don't you just fix the fee structure so it pays for everything? No matter who it is walking in the door, they know what it costs. Rather than, you're good, you got a lot of money you can pay for and get it fast. Now, the other question I would ask is, if you expedite it, is this going to be the same proficiency of exam that you would put on a process that would take 6 months?
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, as to the first question, there are existing examples of this approach that the legislature has authorized for natural resource agencies. So actually, Water Resources Department, Water Right Permitting Program already has this sort of system in place. And what has happened is some folks have elected to do this expedited process, and their permit reviews have gone relatively fast. For the rest of the pending applications, it has not slowed those down. They are going as fast, actually faster than they used to, because the agency is now getting the resources to be able to review all of the permits more efficiently and faster. So that's to your first question. And I'm sorry.
Now, I do remember having discussions about maintenance of effort, if you will.
Right.
You know, not in past sessions, and maybe it was the Water Resources Department, but this is not the first time this has come up, and I remember it being discussed in ways and means about, okay, well, if we do this, it's not an excuse just to kind of slow down the main line so that everybody feels like they have to go through the fast line and pay more.
Chair Edwards, that has been the concern with this sort of approach, and where it has been tried, that has not happened. Okay. And I believe that it can be done that way. And Senator Olson, your second question was whether this is sort of shortcutting the review.
Yeah, and the quality of exam.
Yes.
That you would put on it.
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, that's a legitimate concern, and I think, you know, if there is interest in this concept, and, you know, this bill needs work if it's going to go forward, I think we would want to make sure that the review process that remains for expedited reviews is, in terms of quality, you know, the same adequate quality of review with the same opportunities for public input that we have in the regular review process. So there's work to be done on this. It's really to raise the broader question about alternative ways of funding some of these review functions that the public and the legislature has asked that we provide.
So we've got a tax, we've got a fee. What would you call this one?
You don't have to answer that. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions for the panel? Thank you both for being here and explaining this to us. Okay, we've got, going to take this in basically two panels. Folks haven't necessarily signed up together to testify together, but I'm going to call you up in threes anyway because that's how many chairs we have. Peggy Lynch, Jonathan Manton, and Mary Kyle McCurdy. And then on deck will be Aaron Doyle, Mike MacArthur, and Al Elkins.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. I will be relatively brief. I'm going to take from our 2009 letter that I shared earlier. We believe that fees for service are appropriate in some cases. However, such fees cannot abrogate the job of the agency to protect the rights of the general public and to administer those rules and laws. Senator Olson mentioned the concern about if you're a large, deep pockets business versus a small business. That's an inequity we would not want to see. So if you move forward with this, that would be a concern. Another concern the league has to do with perception. The perception that the permitter is working on behalf of the person paying them and not on behalf of the general public. And so it doesn't mean that happens. I am totally sure that does not happen with Water Resources in their program. But the perception is there. So that's a real concern. I served on the budget group for ODF&W. I understand their concerns and their needs. So as part of our effort, we advocated for more general fund to help pay for those public responsibilities that agency has. And we believe that that's really a way to do it. And I just found you $1.25 million in those last two bills.
I'm here to answer any questions. Thank you.
Sounds like legislative math to me. Just found money. Thanks, Peggy.
Thank you, Chair Edwards. Again, Jonathan Manton with the Water Watch of Oregon, and I've already had a chance to speak today, so I'll just be very quick on this bill and let Mayor Kyle have more time. Agree with the same concerns that Peggy raised, agree with the same concerns that Senator Olson raised. I always like to be able to say that, so thank you for those comments. Just make two statutory references in my testimony, and that's to ORS 536055, which already kind of provides an expedited process and review for water right permit applications, permit extensions, permit amendments, final proof surveys, water right exchanges, transfers, and water management and conservation plans. And finally, we would have concerns over the carve-out for the limited license for water storage, which is somewhat addressed already in statute. There is ORS 537.143, which already creates a fast-track process for limited license for storage. And in fact, it has an emergency provision in there that they can be issued immediately if there's an emergency. With that, I'll just refer you to the written testimony, which we've posted on OLIS. Thank you, Beth, for doing that. And I'll turn it over to Mayor Beth.
That's me. Good afternoon, Chair Edwards, members of the committee. Mary Kyle McCurdy, Policy Director at 1000 Friends of Oregon. I'm here to talk about the odd thing in this bill, which is the application to city and county review of comprehensive plan amendments. You heard the description from Richard Whitman that this would apply to state agencies and regulatory permits. Plan amendments by cities and counties are neither of those things. The reference to plan amendments, just to give you a brief walkthrough, a bit of land use planning, these are not individual permits to develop an individual piece of land. The land use process already provides a 120-day fast track for all city land use permits and 150 days for all county land use permits at no extra cost. Everyone pays the same thing, whatever the city has set for those, not because you've paid more for the fast track. It's 120 days in a city. And in these cases, the time frame makes sense because the land has already been planned for a certain type of development, for commercial or industrial or residential, and the permit application is to use that particular piece of land in a residential area for a house or a subdivision. This plan amendments are different. They cover large swaths of land, and cities and counties typically go through a long public process, getting lots of community input as to whether they should zone or plan an area for residential or commercial or industrial. It may take months or a year. They take into account things like the transportation system, the locations of schools and natural resources to see should this whole area be of a certain type. This bill would allow a single person or developer to force a community to go through in 120 days a process to determine whether or not to change that plan designation if they're able to pay the fee. So, for example, an entire area that had been planned for an industrial sanctuary to take advantage of a key location near a transportation route could find itself with a request to rezone it for a large commercial center and have to do that quickly. And all the other agencies and governments that would likely have to evaluate this would be dragged into that 120-day process also. We find this is an unrealistic framework for making good decisions. It's unfair to the public process that developed these community plans in our cities and counties, and it gives an advantage to the few who are able to pay for it. Thank you.
Thank you for that concise and insightful testimony. Appreciate it. Any questions for the panel? Don't see any. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we've got Aaron Doyle, Mike MacArthur, and Al Elkins.
Thank you. Chair Edwards, members of the committee, I'm Aaron Doyle with the League of Oregon Cities. I'm here to express some concerns that the League has about Senate Bill 210, and we understand that this is a opening gambit and a work in progress, and we appreciate that and are happy to be part of that conversation. What we do appreciate is the consideration of when we have to respond to state agency permit requests, getting some reimbursement for the time and effort our employees spend on that, which is something that's not our responsibility. But I am concerned about the inclusion of city or county reviews of application for a comprehensive plan amendment. I'm not sure how that works under our current structure, under the statutes and regulations that DLCD has for us. When we're doing those, we want to be sure that we're doing the correct thing, the right thing, and 120 days is awfully fast to do that in and not face some challenge at LUBA. Additionally, in looking at how Section 2 relates to Section 1, 90 days to determine if you want to have this expedited process for a city might not be reasonable. If down the road a city did want to do an expedited process under this opportunity that Senate Bill 210 would have, we wouldn't be able to then go and instate the fee for that. So it's a timing thing there for cities that would want to have an expedited process in the land use component. But I'm sure we'll be happy to work with all the stakeholders to see if there's some way that cities can play a role in making things faster and more efficient and better accomplished. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Edwards, for the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Hunters Association. We are a member of the External Budget Advisory Committee of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. Last spring, when we heard the figures that Mr. Bronskum brought forward today, 40-50% of biologist time in the field working on these types of things that you've heard about today, we were quite concerned, so we went to the department with a concept in mind, and they said that one was being developed through the governor's office, and this is it in 210. So we support the concept that's in here that would help reimburse the time for those biologists in the field. We every year at the EBAC meetings, we fiercely guard the biologists, the money is spent for game enforcement, and how those $100 are used. And this will help us, I think, get as a better bang for our buck in terms of $100. I'm here today, Mr. Chair, to ask, I've read through the bill. I see the word state agency. I want to make sure that applies to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. I know that it does, but I want to have that on the record. And I also, in lines 19 to 25 of the bill, I want to make sure that all of the activities that Mr. Bronskum talked about earlier are included in that, so that all of the things that the biologists are working on in the field for fishing and hunting are covered or would be covered under this concept. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate the feedback and the testimony. Are there questions for this panel? Any of the members? Okay. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that wants that did not sign up that would like to testify on Senate Bill 210? Senate Bill 210, going once, going twice. Okay, we're closing.
Mr. Chair, before you gavel
the hearing on Senate Bill 210.
Before you gavel out, I'd like to recognize, I believe she's here, Economic Development Manager for the City of Estacada, one of my constituents, Tara Wilkinson. If she's here, are you here? I guess she's not here.
She was, but she's somewhere.
She was, but she's gone.
How well do you know her? You don't even recognize her?
No, I didn't. I can't see behind everybody.
Well, her name is
thank you.
Forever now on the record.
It's on the record.
The Oregon
she was
Legislature, 2015 edition.
Dude, we don't.
We
don't
are adjourned.
Just pick up.
Edition.
Dude, we don't.
We are adjourned.
Just pick up.
2015.